Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network, home of the Firebird Book Awards, the Positive Change Podcast Awards, and this podcast, The Authors on Fire. I am Pat Rulo, and today I have a Firebird Book Award winning author with me, Gloria Mindock, and her winning book is titled Grief Touched the Sky at Night, which won first place winner for poetry book. She previously won the Firebird Book Award for her book titled Ash. She is retired as a clinical director and counselor in addictions and now freelances, teaching poetry workshops, editing manuscripts of poetry and fiction for writers, and producing video book trailers. The list of awards for her books are extensive, and you can find them at her website, GloriaMindock.com. And I'm so happy to finally meet her and share her powerful poetry with you. Welcome to the network, Gloria.
Hi, thank you.
It is my pleasure, and congratulations on winning the Firebird Book Award.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited about it, and I appreciate it so much.
Well, I appreciated your sharing your work with us. As I was thinking about our upcoming conversation here today, my mind went back to school days when poetry, for me at least, much like history, I felt was taught in such an inaccessible way, which left young people feeling afraid that they couldn't even begin to express themselves like the so-called masters they had to read. And then when we did have to write a poem, it had to rhyme. So I want to just talk about your experience maybe growing up with poetry and how you, if you felt that you've experienced that kind of thing, how you broke free from that.
Oh, yes. I remember in eighth grade, we had to read William Blake. And to this day, I cannot read him because of my experience in eighth grade. I know that's horrible, but it was rhymy. It was Tiger, Tiger, Burning Bright. And I just, the teacher was horrible and didn't teach it right. And I really didn't like poetry growing up. I wrote songs a lot, little songs and that, and I still write music to this day. And then when I got to high school, I had a wonderful teacher for English, and that's where I discovered Keats and Shelley, and I just loved them. And from then on, I loved poetry.
Mm. It's just sad that especially poetry and things like history and maybe even music sometimes as well, you just have a difficult experience with them growing up, and it keeps you away from them. So I'm glad you were able to find something that called to you and that you understood so that you can continue with this journey as a poet. Also thinking about writing poetry, how do you balance your desire for personal expression with the need to connect with readers? I'm imagining it's a little bit different than if you're writing fiction or nonfiction. What are your thoughts?
Well, I hope I connect with readers. I really don't worry about it. I just write what I write and then, of course, edit it. And if I have trouble, I have a few friends that, you know, I ask for help. But I don't worry about it. And I know I'm not going to reach everybody. Not everybody's going to like my poetry, but I do hope, of course, there are some that do. And so I concentrate on that. If I was so worried about what people thought of my work, I wouldn't do it. So I don't worry about it. And I just hope I, you know, reach people and touch them in some way.
I love that answer. That is a great answer. Basically, you're writing for yourself. But obviously, if you do it well, then others are going to be attracted to it. Here's another, and it seems like a strange question, but what is poetry? I know as a reader, especially here at the Firebird Book Awards, I really gravitate toward reading all of the poetry entries that come in. And they kind of run the gamut of all kinds of ways to express themselves. How do you describe poetry?
That's a very hard question. I think there are so many different types of poetry, from sonnets to lyrical. You mentioned rhyme. There's haiku, so many different forms. I think really poetry can be anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really difficult to answer that. I think as long as you write and work on it and let your expression come out, that can be a form of poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I know there will be people that disagree with me, but I don't worry about that either.
See, I agree with you. As I read the poetry that comes in, I just so appreciate how varied it is. Then it also makes me think about rules and how when you're writing fiction and you're writing nonfiction, that you need an editor and you need to follow all of the rules. Is that not the same for poetry?
Well, there are rules for poetry. I mean, you should edit your work or have someone
sure.
edit it, but you need to work with people that you trust. There is a lot of bad suggestions out there, I'm sure, but it's just finding someone who understands your work and knows what you're trying to do. And I'm very lucky I have that if I need it. And so rules, I think there's rules for, again, certain types of poetry,
mm-hmm.
again, sonnets, haiku, certain things like that that should be followed. But free verse, I don't think that as having any rules.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you write and, of course, edit and try to get across what you're trying to do in your poem, that's fine.
Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping to encourage more people to think that they can write poetry. That's why I was so excited about our conversation today. I knew you were the expert and the go-to person here. Alrighty, let's talk about the your recent book that won Grief Touched the Sky at Night, which was written exclusively about the Ukraine war. Before we get into the poetries, why? Why did you decide to dedicate an entire book to this?
Well, I consider myself a poet of witness, and I have written about genocides and atrocities in so many countries, such as El Salvador, Rwanda, Argentina, Guatemala, and so forth. And I really was unhappy when Putin basically took over Crimea, and that's when I considered the war as really starting, and that happened in, 2014, and I decided, well, I have to write about this and write about what's happening with the people there since, you know, Putin invaded or is trying to invade that country and take it over.
Do you have your books nearby? Could you read a little for us?
Oh, sure.
Oh, that'd be lovely, yes.
I will read a poem called The Blindfold. Blindfold me so I don't see the damage, the dead bodies or blood on the ground. Wrap the blindfold tightly around my eyes so I don't see the Russian tanks. Puncture my ears so I don't hear the sirens that a missile is coming. Tie my hands together so I can't take a life. God would not want me to do this. Bind my legs so I won't run and flee from my home. Stop my heart from feeling loss, sadness, and grief before it overwhelms me. The soldiers are killing my family and friends, slitting their throats and burning them. I know this. Remove my blindfold. Untie my hands. Give me my hearing back. Give me a weapon.
Ooh, Gloria. Wow. Wow, I've got chills. There's just no way to even comment on that other than just enjoy the chills here.
Oh, thank you.
Wow. So does that come to you all at once? How do you write?
It comes to me usually all at once.
Mm-hmm.
I write better in the wee hours when it's very quiet. I've been lucky, you know, sometimes a poem will stir in my head for a few days or an idea, and then all of a sudden it comes out. Pretty much my poems come out as you hear them. Granted, there is editing with them.
Mm-hmm.
I try to get rid of the little words, you know, so I don't have many of those in it unless needed.
Sure, sure. Yeah, that's interesting that you do it in the quiet hours of night and just let it pour out from you. I'm sure you find, though, that these lines haunt you all day long.
I mean, I've always been very political in terms of what happens to the people. So I always, yes, that's always in my brain, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Yep. Do you have another that you would like to read for us?
Oh, sure. Let me pull it up here. Okay, I'll read Bandages. In a Russian prison, she could hear the cries of Ukrainian men being raped. She was pregnant. Her husband did not know. All she wanted was her baby to be born in Ukraine, speaking to her stomach, urging, "Wait, little one." In a prisoner exchange, her baby was born in Ukraine. Another woman, so brutalized, she was not sure she would live, yet she's ready to fight again. Still, she did not want to leave home, bombed out shell, dried blood in the dirt, wreckage like abstract art, a boot in the road filled with flowers, someone mourning a life, mourning their life. In some villages, every heart stopped beating at once. Can a village survive supported by the beating hearts of only two? Yet the women carry on in the footprints stretched out before them, walking the same path, breathing a different story for a free Ukraine.
Oh, wow. Wow. You are awesome. That is quite something. And both of the poems that you read to us, though, seem to hint a little bit at strength and resilience.
Yes. And it was interesting. That poem was inspired by two women on 60 Minutes who were prisoners of war. And it was so interesting what they were going through. And that poem came out of listening to both of them.
Mm-hmm. It's educational and inspiring, and hopefully it can change people's minds and change lives and change situations.
Yes, there needs to be more awareness. Thankfully, the internet and the news, 24 hours, you can get the news, but you have to be careful what you listen to, mm-hmm. because there's a lot of stuff out there that I don't know if it's true or not. So you have to be careful and trust the news station or radio or whatever you're listening to.
Very true. There's a lot of sifting that has to go through. And even then, I don't know that you could fully rely on anything other than if you're your own eyewitness or knew people. What kind of feedback have you gotten from this book?
I've gotten great feedback. It's really wonderful, especially in the community here where I live. The poets and writers here are very supportive. And with the readings that I've done so far, their comments and the questions that they asked me were really wonderful. So I felt like they understood what I was trying to do and trying to share and, you know, what I was saying.
Right, right. Let's talk about your cover. How did the cover art come about?
My friend Svet Dean Naham, who lives in Bulgaria, I published a book by him, and he wrote a book about short stories about Ukraine when Crimea was taken over. And he knew this woman, and I saw some of her photos when I did his book trailer. I got to use some of them, and I thought she would be great if she would let me use a photo. So I asked him to put her in contact with me again, and she sent me photos, and I saw this, and I knew it was it. It was a cover I had to do, and I would like to say her name to give her credit, but I don't know how to pronounce it. Let me see if I see it here in the book. Natalia, oh gosh, Zerminskaya. So as you can tell, I flattered her name, but she was wonderful, and she let me use the photo. And my publisher, Ami Kay from Glasslayer Press, is just wonderful. She has, been very good about letting me, you know, use a cover that I love, and even for Ash. And then the book before that she did it, she had someone from her staff design the cover, and it was so beautiful what was done and just what I wanted. So I've been very lucky because I'm very funny about covers. They really have to, you know, grab your attention, of course, but they really have to do with the book. That's very important. And you see many covers out there that you're like, what?
So true. A cover, it's very interesting. Not only does the cover have to resonate with you, but I think covers are more importantly for the reader or the potential reader. It's got to speak to them. And so, yeah, that's a tricky thing to accomplish, that it be both something that you love and yet something that will reach out to the potential reader.
Oh, for sure. Like, I know, well, I published books for my press, Trevena Barber Press, mm-hmm. and I published about 250 books. And Bill, my partner, we laugh all the time because I love all the covers that I've done for the books except one. And we always joke about it. It was one from early on, and we joke and say, what were we thinking of? But the person will never know that, you know, we're not happy with the cover.
I guess at the end of the day, as long as the author loves the cover, then your work is done.
Right, yes. But other than that, you know, I'm very careful. I want them to love their book and love their cover. And many of them, you know, send me artwork and that, which is wonderful. And it fits perfectly. So it's been a great experience.
Are you still publishing for authors? And if so, what type books are you looking for?
Yes, I'm still publishing. I do publish poetry, fiction, and a lot of translations. I used to publish plays, but laying those out is just too complicated and hard for me, so, and I don't really have the time, so I stopped doing that.
Sure.
And I have help also. I've had this woman that I've hired, Allison O'Keefe, and she does a wonderful job. And then Steve Amussen from Glasslayer has helped me, and so I'm very grateful for them. I do lay out most of the books, though, because it gets expensive, you know, paying people.
It does. And that's another important aspect of a book. And most people think, oh, it just needs to be formatted and you know, pay somebody $50 to go ahead and format it. But the formatting is so important. And it's more than formatting. It's an interior design.
Yes, definitely. There's nothing worse than picking up a book you're real excited about, and then you open it up, and, you know, the print's too light, or it's really huge, and you really can't read it.
Yeah, it's distracting. I agree. Well, you mentioned your previous book, Ash. Let's take a little peek into that book. Give our readers an idea of what to expect if they get a copy of the book, Ash.
Okay. That book was really fun to write. It's about the death of relationships, and the idea behind it was I listened to overheard conversations, some of the stories my clients have told me over the years when I was working, and people on the street always seem to tell me their problems, and it always is about relationships. So I thought, I'm going to put this to you. So I wrote the book, Ash.
Was that the book right before Grief Touched the Sky at Night?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. Now, I read on your website that you also write with your father and your sister.
Oh, we did a children's book. When I was growing up, my dad told us little brown mouse stories, and my sister, Kellis, also. And we were talking, and we decided to write a book. My dad did most of it, and Kellis and I, you know, of course, helped him. And it was so much fun. My dad's 97, he'll be 98, so he did this book in his 90s, and it was so much fun. And Bill, my partner, he did the illustrations for it.
How fun to take a childhood memory and bring it to life forever.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was fun, and it made me very happy, and my dad, too. He is just a wonderful person. He taught for so many years. He taught till he was 81. And so he just loved it and, you know, loved students and stuff. And I had him for a teacher even.
Oh, my gosh. That's probably an experience.
Oh, it was great. I had no trouble. You would think I would have trouble with other students, like, oh, your dad, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But no, everybody was great, you know, all through grade school and that. But my dad was very fair to everybody, so there was never any problem.
Oh, I love that. That's so nice. So what are you working on now, Gloria?
I am working on a flash fiction book, and I named it Almost Murder. And it's short little stories about situations that you could have been murdered, but you didn't get murdered. So it's a lot of fun to write, and I've been having a blast. I'm still new in the process.
Oh, I love that you branch out, and, you know, a lot of authors stick to what they do. It's kind of neat to see that you're doing poetry and flash fiction and spreading around, trying all of the different writing styles. Let's talk a little bit about flash fiction. I don't think many people consider that or think about it. What defines flash fiction?
I guess the amount of words, since I am so new to it, I can't really speak about it very well. I think it's, you know, maybe up to 200 words or 100 and something. I can't even tell you. When I finish these stories, I mean, I'll look it up and be careful where I send it and mm-hmm. for the right amount of words, you know, because there's microfiction, flash fiction.
Yes.
And until I get used to it, it's a little confusing for me because this is new to me. Usually I never worried about word count. I just write what I write and, you know, and mm-hmm. when it's done, it's done. But I really love the idea of writing something short. It's a nice challenge.
I like short. I just did a blog post on short stories and how they seem to be making more of a comeback. I'm seeing more of them at the Firebird Book Awards. I'm seeing more anthologies where you get a group of authors and they each write a short bit of fiction. And I was writing specifically about short nonfiction, where you pull together a group of authors to each write something within a specialized niche and to create an anthology of nonfiction shorts. I actually really like the whole concept of shorts, whether it's fiction or non.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I like it too.
Except when it's really good, then you don't want it to end. You're like, oh my gosh.
Yep, that's true too.
I want more of this, but then I guess you need to leave them wanting more, right?
Yes, that's good.
Yes,
good
it
to
is.
Do.
It is good. Quit when you're on top. Did you ever think of taking any of your poems and expanding them into a longer format to create maybe a short story using the poetry or that poem as a kernel?
No, I haven't. I haven't thought about doing that. For me, I know this is going to sound weird, but once a poem is done and a book comes out,
it's
that's
done.
It for mm-hmm. it. You know, because I spend so much time researching and interviewing, if I have a chance, you know, refugees or anyone that, you know, knows more about the situation than I do. So once I'm done, I that's it. And then I move on to something else. And that's why my, like, stories that I'm writing about Almost Murder is totally different mm-hmm. from, you know, the atrocities and mm-hmm. and bad relationships.
It's interesting. Well, it gives your brain a break too, and I would think it just allows your creativity to come forth since you're not just stuck with the same topic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, for sure. Wow. I like to branch out, and my brain's always going, and I'm always thinking of things to write. It seems like it never stops.
That's a good thing. That is a good thing. If you've got that creativity within, you never want it to stop. And so many people will be inspired and are inspired by your work. So don't stop thinking.
Yes, I only hate it when I'm in a deep sleep and I wake up and then something will hit me and I have to get up and write it down and then I go back to bed and I can't sleep.
Isn't that the truth? Sometimes I lay there with a thought in mind of mm-hmm. of something and then I have to really try to stop myself because I know if I don't, I'll be up all night thinking about it. So you've got to
yes.
retrain your mind. Oh my gosh, we've talked about so many things. I want to make sure that we're not missing anything that you wanted to highlight today.
No, we're not missing anything. I think we covered a lot.
We did. We did. I know there's so much more, especially with your poetries. And I hope readers get a copy of this book. All righty, my friend. Well, if you would share any and all places our listeners can go to find out more about you and to get copies of your books.
Okay. They can get copies of my book, books from glassliarpress.com. And my website is GloriaMindock.com, so they can find out more about me. And my books also are available on Amazon. Sometimes that's easier for people to order from, especially if they have Prime and can get free shipping.
Right. All righty. Well, we're speaking with Gloria Mindock. Her book, the recent book that won the Firebird Book Award, is titled Grief Touched the Sky at Night. Her previous book was titled Ash. She's got so much more coming up, GloriaMindock.com. Gloria, I was so looking forward to spending time with you and learning about poetry and what goes on in a poet's brain. So thank you for allowing me to kind of pick your brain today and sharing you and your work with our audience.
Oh, thank you so much.